on Media 2070 and Black in the Newsroom. You can check out the website, mediareparations.org. Alicia Bell and Colette Watson, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by the Media Watch Group FAIR, based in New York. If you'd like more information about FAIR, you can check out our website, fair.org. That's the place to learn about our newsletter Extra or to sign up for our Action Alert Network. The show's engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
Slavic Community Hour is looking for new collective members. The Slavic Community Hour is an interactive news, talk, and music program focused on Portland's Ukrainian and Russian community. No experience is required, just an enthusiasm for Slavic culture and a desire to learn. If you speak Ukrainian or Russian and have an interest in community radio, please reach out to program@kbu.org to learn more. That's program@kbu.org.
Tune in to KBOO on Wednesday, October 5th for Dead Moon Night,
a four-hour extravaganza celebrating
the 2017 event when 1,100 rockers showed up outside Portland City Hall
to commemorate the legendary band Dead Moon in an official city proclamation of October 5th as Dead Moon Night.
Again, that's Dead Moon Night, Wednesday, October 5th, from 8 p.m. till midnight.
Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to community radio, KBOO 90.7.
Welcome to You Speaks Out,
a usually monthly program featuring the youth of Mendocino County, California. I'm the producer and director, Dan Roberts. I work with Jameis Shields Spence from Laytonville Healthy Start. Youth Speaks Out receives support from the Office of National Drug Control Policy. This month, I checked back with three Laytonville students, Eve, Karuna, and Natalia, who are off attending college in Oregon and Southern California. I wanted to know how they were doing with the three C's: climate change, COVID, and college. I enjoyed their perspectives and think that you will be inspired as well. We will begin with Eve, who is attending the University of Oregon in Corvallis.
Hello, my name is Eve Kreiling. I am a sophomore at Oregon State University, majoring in bioresource research. Right now, I'm working for the USDA on a hops research site, harvesting experimental genetically bred hops. Wow. Yeah.
And are all your classes in person this year?
I believe so. My school is really not very communicative and tends to change their mind a lot, because they said, like, even last year we were going to have in-person classes and that didn't happen.
Right, I remember that.
They promised us in-person classes if we all got vaccinated, so like everybody on campus this year will be vaccinated. I haven't started school yet. I start school next month, but they say everybody's going to be vaccinated. The majority of important major classes will be in person. They did say there might be some like remote classes if you have like, if they're like big lecture hall classes, and I'm kind of worried about that because I'm going to be taking some big lecture hall classes, and I feel like, I don't know, I don't want that to be online. I want that experience. So I've signed up for statistics, I've signed up for soil science, like the chemistry of soil. That's a soil science class. I've signed up for public speaking, which I'm really hoping is going to be in person.
Yeah.
What have you learned about education as a result of all the online classes? Did that bring up any notion as how you get educated or what the game is?
Yeah, that online school is a ripoff. And then if you want to learn, you like either you need people that are willing to talk to you and communicate ideas with you, or you need to be able to teach yourself that, you know, because I was kind of stuck in the middle of those two in online school, and that's why I felt like I was struggling, because I couldn't exactly just teach myself the material. I didn't have all the resources to just teach myself the material, but I also didn't have enough resources to talk to others about the material and learn from that. And so that's what online classes really showed to me, is that you really like, you need to have like the resources and the ability to teach yourself, you know, or you need to have those around you that are able to communicate complex ideas with you. Just because I was really struggling trying to learn science and math by myself, and I would try to talk to someone over the Zoom, but I couldn't get my ideas across effectively, so I found it really difficult. But I also didn't have enough resources or time or just like information to teach myself all of that information. So that's where I was struggling. So I'm really hoping I have more connections to either get help from others or a better understanding on how I can study and teach myself certain aspects on certain topics when I'm not getting the instruction I need from others.
In your classes last year, last semester, did they discuss COVID or the climate crisis?
Yeah, and I honestly found it really annoying that all my classes were about COVID. I did not like it. I really felt like I was trying, like we were already in this reality. Like, why do we have to be learning about this reality that's like inhibiting us from going to college? But our college that we're paying for is just always about that. Like my English class was constantly about COVID. My biology class is constantly about COVID. I felt like that was the only relevant class that should be talked about in, you know, like I was sick of all the COVID talk in all of my classes, because I wasn't there to learn about COVID. I was there to learn about plant science and freaking diction and rhetoric, you know, like, but instead we're reading articles about COVID. Like, I didn't like it. I was not appreciative personally. And they weren't talking about the climate. Like, on the other hand, we barely talked about climate change when I was taking like environmental science classes. Like, it was mostly about like the research people have done, but not really like how it affects the planet. You know, it was just very like, this person found this one enzyme that can do this, you know. But my biology classes were very medically focused, and I was getting kind of annoyed with them for that reason.
You're vaccinated, correct?
I am vaccinated, yeah.
Do you wear a mask every time you go outside?
Every time I go into a building,
yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, there's still mask mandates in my area. Instead of the actual like sickness being the issue now, it's the people denying the vaccine and denying the sickness that is creating the issue. Like, I fully had to cut off my father recently, that because he is just sending me all of these ridiculous websites of all these conspiracies that the vaccine is going to change my DNA or it's going to give me blood clots. And I just like, I've like tried to debunk them scientifically because like I have been educated on how DNA works, and I know that RNA cannot re-enter the nucleus. It has to be exported by transport protein, and the vaccine does not have that transport protein. So it's impossible for any of that genetic information to go into your nucleus. And I literally was trying to explain this to my father, but he called me this, and it's just really stuck in my mind because it scares me because I feel like a lot of people think of people who are going to college or people who know things as this. He called me an educated idiot. And I was like, huh. And basically it means I've just been brainwashed by the educational system or by college to believe that science is real, to believe that history is real. Or more like, how far do you have to be down? Like, how, like, what makes you think that the what you've been taught is untrue? Like, I get not totally trusting what you've been told, but totally saying that like you're an idiot because you believe in science, like that's crazy to me. And I'm very fearful that that's becoming a more popular opinion.
How's the weather been in the places you've been in the last 6 months? Does it seem normal or what's going on?
I mean, it's just been hot and dry. Like when I was in Laytonville, it was incredibly hot and dry. Like I left town right before that Bell Springs fire happened. It wasn't out of the normal for me because I'm kind of used to California just setting on fire during the late summer. But like we were just on high alert, like because everything was so dry. Like we didn't even have enough water to water our garden. We didn't have like we had to like measure our showers, time out our showers, make sure we didn't use like some more out of the tank. I was grateful I wasn't in Oregon during the summer because they had like record-breaking temperatures here. Like my roommate told me she stayed all summer because she had a job here. She told me it got to like 116 one day, and that's like unheard of for Oregon. And we're pretty coastal too. We're like only 30 minutes away from the beach, and it was 116 degrees here. The sea temps here in the Pacific Northwest were off the charts this summer. Like so many tide pooled animals have probably overheated and died this summer just because the ocean here has never been that hot. These like heat waves are just causing like massive ecosystem shifts. Like what organisms can survive there is going to cause a lot of extinction that we are not even aware of, you know, because think of all like the little microorganisms that live in tide pools and stuff like that. If they get too hot, they're gone, you know. And like, I don't know, there's just so many tiny factors in the environment that we are affecting and like killing that are not even on humans' radar right now, you know. I have so much eco anxiety, as like myself and other people have called it. Like it's just so hard to live as a person that's conscious of the effect that you have on your world, you know. Like just me living affects the world so much, like me as a person, and then multiply that by 8 billion, and it just seems like such a tall trash pile that just continues to grow no matter how much we pull from the bottom, you know. It just seems like an unstoppable threat to me, and I just, like, no matter how much, like, I can try to change my individual habits, it feels like it's also pointless. And that's the issue, is because everyone feels like that. Like, if you care for the environment and you educate yourselves and the things that you can do as a person, if you're the only one doing that, then it's kind of pointless. It breaks my heart, like, every day, like, the fact that I have to use plastic to eat, you know, to survive. I have to pollute the planet, and there's just no other way about it. And
are many of your friends climate activists? And if they are, what do they do?
I don't like the word climate activist, because, like, everybody should be a climate activist, but those who are climate activists don't do anything. Like, there's a difference between I'm being really pessimistic about this, but, like, you can say that on Instagram that plastic is bad and that we're polluting our environment, like, all day, but we're really not doing much. Like, I wouldn't call myself a climate activist because I don't feel like I contribute enough, like, and I don't know how to contribute enough, you know, and the average person doesn't know how to do that. So, like, climate activists don't really exist right now. There's just people who are concerned for the environment and are unable and don't have enough power to really make huge changes. And so all they can do is really talk about it. Like, that's all we're doing, is talking about it. The government is not keeping those companies accountable for what they are doing to the environment. Like, no one's holding the people who are destroying the environment accountable. Their whole strategy is to just pin all of the responsibility on consumers, but consumers don't have the facilities, they don't have the time, they don't have the energy to sort their whole recycling bin. And even if they do, that plastic recycling is not even going to make it to the recycling facility. Like, it's just a whole scam and a whole lie. And all we can do is talk about it.
Did you listen to Greta's speech at the Austrian Climate Summit?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
Again, I think it's just performative. You can say those things, but is it going to happen? You know, are companies going to change? Are we going to stop doing, like, these practices? I hate to be like this, but it's just like, it just feels like we are so powerful. Like, yes, Greta can make, like, an inspiring speech like that, but, like, nothing's gonna change. And that's what makes me sad. Like, I truly don't believe nothing's gonna change immediately. In order to save our planet, we need to stop, like, living in the society like we do now. Like, Americans, they need to stop consuming the way they eat is, like, detrimental for the environment. Like, I was thinking, if you ban types of plastic packaging, that could kill a lot of people because they don't know how to cook for themselves. It would totally mess up the distribution lines of, like, America's grocery stores. Like, it's just like, there's no way.
There are alternatives to plastic. I mean, there's non-petroleum based coverings that could be used, that have been around for 20 years.
100%, but they're not being funded and they're not being developed, right, and they're not being given to companies. Like, we know this and it's so obvious, and that's where my anger comes from, is that, like, we know that we're, like, the way that we live is screwing up the environment, but, like, the people who are in control of our country and of these industries don't think there is any other way, or don't want there to be any other way, because they're going to lose their money. Like, the way America is set up, I just don't know how it's going to be able to change as quickly as it needs to. We need to change yesterday. We need to ban plastics. We need to freaking invest in solar power and wind power and water power and, like, all those other things. All the people my age are aware, but we just feel currently now powerless to do anything. Like, the only thing I can think that would make any impact is that we, like, would be mass boycotts. Like, we just need to, like, mass boycott, like, polluted companies like Coca-Cola. Like, Coca-Cola is the first one. Because that's the only way that we can show our power. as like small individuals, as like consumers, as like individual people. That's how we show our powers to like the large corporations that have kind of like such a chokehold on the way this country runs. A lot of people are just trying to live, you know, they're not trying, they don't want to make a difference. They just want to be able to live their own lives and feel like they have freedom and happiness. And I feel like that's what's important to most people. And it's important to me too. So like, that's what I'm afraid of. Everything collapses for the environment. Like my life might suck, you know, but like the natural world will heal. It's just we exploit so many different areas of the earth and so many people to live how we live as Americans. And a lot of people, I just feel like a lot of people don't realize that and don't care. They could totally make laws limiting the amount of like carbon emissions like companies in America could have. They could totally like limit the sale of plastic or tax the heck out of products that are packaged in plastic. But again, that would punish the consumer and not the company.
It's kind of a perfect storm because the economic ramifications of this whole COVID pandemic are also just ruining lots of international economies. And so there's going to be this poverty, this rise in poverty that's going to happen anyway. And on top of it, environmental collapse, shall we say.
Yeah. What's so bizarre to me, I think about this all the time, pretty much all of the damage we've done in the past 150 years. We have really like changed our whole planet so quickly, like in the span of like how human beings have been alive for thousands of years without having to impact. But as soon as we became advanced and as soon as we started like having all these comforting things, that's when our consumption of the earth became negative and became damaging. I feel like if that society collapsed, you know, it was just about people surviving and living with their families, like we wouldn't be having all of these world issues. It's from all of the comforts we have and all of the advancements we've made in the past 150 years that have caused all this. And I blame plastics wholeheartedly. Like, it's just like, why? Why did we ever need plastics? It makes me so upset. Like,
yeah, what's the whole industrial revolution is what you're talking about, is what that was the thing that sped up the destruction of the planet. I mean, you know, before that, people were trashing each other over religions, pretty much.
Yeah.
That, you know,
but we still had buildings, we still had infrastructure, we still had ways. Like, I just, instead of being so focused on like, wow, oil, plastic, like, this is the future. Like, I feel like if we could have advanced in other directions, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on that, for sure.
We just only focused on advancing this one industry because it's the future and it's new and we came up with it. Like, if it wasn't for the discovery of fossil fuels, I feel like we've already would have cracked how to make all rivers pretty much hydroelectricity centers and stuff like that. I feel like we would have advanced in more beneficial ways.
You know, my last question was, what are you doing to nourish your well-being? And that's kind of a foo-foo way of saying, what are you doing to make it so that you're staying sane and happy in this time period with all the stuff you know?
I've just been trying to be more present in the world. This past year, I've been really, like, on the internet and on my phone and watching all this stuff, and it really checked me out and, like, made me not appreciate life as much. So I've really been trying to like ground myself more and not think about things all the time. I want to do more things and less thinking about things, because for the past year all I've been doing is looking at stuff on my phone and thinking about how screwed up the world is, or like how much anxiety I have, or like when the pandemic's going to be over. But though all those feelings are just coming from that obsession of like trying to analyze and be informed about what's going on, but I'm just like, that's not going to change my life directly. Like, of course I need to be informed, but I can't be obsessed over it, you know? So I've been really trying to like just do more activities with my body and my brain. You know, I've took up skateboarding. I skateboarded all around Corvallis. There's like a nice park near my house where we have like beach volleyball courts. So I've been playing beach volleyball with some people. I met some days I met my friend Javier there. So I've been trying to do more of that, like interacting with the world instead of interacting with the world with me, with my hands, with my voice, with my body, instead of interacting with the world over the internet.
You are listening to Youth Speaks Out. That was Eve from Corvallis. Now we will hear from Karuna, a Laytonville High School graduate who is attending Claremont College in the Los Angeles area.
Hi, my name is Karuna Gillespie. I'm a sophomore at Claremont McKenna College, and I just began living on campus. I'm studying public policy and government.
Where's Claremont College?
In the LA area. It's right below the San Bernardino Mountains. It's a really small liberal arts private college.
Are your classes going to be in person this year?
They are. My classes are going to be in person. My school is a part of a broader five schools. They call them the five C's that are all sort of connected as one college, but they're broken off into separate parts. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of the other colleges are doing a lot of other virtual and outside classes. But as far as I know, all my classes are inside and in person.
And have you already started classes?
No, we start on Monday.
Do you know specifically your schedule?
I'm taking Spanish, and I'm taking a religious studies course. It's called Religion and Politics in America.
Whoa, that's great.
And then I'm taking a history, which is the one I'm really excited for. It's called Genocide and Human Rights in the 20th Century. So,
whoa,
that's what I'm excited for.
Cool classes.
Yeah, since I'm studying public policy, and I am just personally really interested in religion and how it affects our society. So I'm really excited to see the effects and correlations between those two.
So what did you learn about education from, you know, the whole process of education from having to do it online rather than in person? Did you get any insights about education?
Yeah, and some of them are still coming to me as, and since I haven't actually started classes yet with college classes in person, I'm guessing I'm going to see even more contrast and learn things more about the education process. But the biggest things that I noticed were that I felt like usually in college, students get to know each other and therefore are able to help each other out in classes. And, you know, sit together and study or just have a quick conversation about an assignment and passing by, and like information spread really easily that way. Some of my class they put more effort into meeting people online than I did. I sort of checked out of the online social scene a little bit just because I was feeling drained with being on a screen after doing Zooms all day. Yeah. But I felt like the lack, like I couldn't walk by on campus and see someone and ask them when something was due. Like, everything was very tricky in particular, and it was harder for students to collaborate on things together and talk about things. So it felt more like we were each individually taking a class instead of like all of us taking class. That was definitely the biggest thing. And I'm feeling as I am about to start classes that I'm going to take advantage of my peers taking the classes as well and being close to me as much as I can, because I feel like I didn't get that, so it'll help a lot to have other students just near me and around that are taking the same classes as me.
Has the climate crisis and COVID made you rethink what you want to study?
Yeah, definitely. When I was applying to colleges, I was really considering a physics major. I was really excited about the idea of astrophysics and exploring that sort of thing, and I saw myself doing it because I really enjoyed it, the ideas. And then with everything happening that happened over the past couple of years, I realized that there's way too much need to decide that I can just devote my education to something fun, and that I needed to put it to use more. And I know that, so I switched my major to public policy, and I at that time thought that that would be helpful for changing policy around COVID and climate and whatever. But I still rethink it now, again, if I should switch it again, I'm not sure. Should I switch to environmental science? Like, would that be better? I don't know. Part of what also COVID has taught me and climate change is that things just come out of nowhere. You know, really unexpected things will shift and change the world. So part of my hope was with a public policy major that if something else happens to come up that's even more pressing, or if when I graduate, I can kind of reassess what may need the most need. And I'm hoping that the public policy major and education can kind of, I can apply to different fields and whatever might be need. I'm really interested in public education, so I'm trying to focus my studies on reforming public education. And that was something that I was passionate about for a while. But with climate change, I sometimes feel like that is maybe focusing directly on climate change instead of just educating people about climate change, because it'll be more of a future payoff instead of a direct one. And so I worry, because our timeline, I'm not sure how much time we have. So
yeah, exactly.
I worry about if I reform public education, will it work fast enough to educate people, or will it be too late by then? And should I have just studied science straight out of the gate? That's definitely thoughts I have, and definitely COVID and climate have made me question. Not just switching my major, but attending college at all. Sometimes I feel like maybe getting this higher education is a waste of time if in 10 or 20 or 50 years there is a more of an apocalyptic world in which my college education won't be that useful. I worry that I might be wasting my time a little bit. So I'm hoping we have enough time that I can apply it to something useful before it becomes useless.
So do you think that the weather's changing much?
Yeah, so where I grew up in Laneville my whole life, when I think back to the memories I have of a child, of what winter seasons were supposed to be like, are so different from what they are now. I remember it being something we had to like prepare for and prep for, and it would rain for weeks, it would snow, it was freezing, it was so cold. And now it is very different from that. It's like we get a very small fraction of the rain that we used to get, and it's really terrifying. I've done the drive from NorCal to SoCal and back and forth down California a couple times now recently, and it's really scary to look around because everything is dry. Like, everything is so dry. And we saw that with the fire season this past year, with a lot of the fires up in Mendocino, definitely, but just on the West Coast over there.
What do you know about the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC report? Do you know much about that?
I do. I know a little bit. I watched the video you sent me that reviewed it, and I looked at some small sections of it a couple of weeks when it first came out. It's interesting because I actually haven't heard anyone around me really speak about it at home, or really even in my college academic environment. It's really interesting because I would expect that to be a conversation. Where I see the conversation happening is on social media. I would see a lot of people talking about it there and posting about it, which is helpful, but I think people need to be having having conversations in person about it as well. What I really know about it is that why this report is different than the ones that they have released in the past is that the language it's used is a lot more direct and less vague and a lot more clear that humans have impacted it, and we have caused climate change, and that it is bad. It's not maybe bad, it is bad. And that's what I know is the difference. This has changed.
So are you angry that the elders let this all, this environmental catastrophe happen? And what could they have done instead?
Yes. Yes, it is very angering that past generations have let things get to a point where it's so dangerous and so hard to reverse, pretty irreversible. Some things really will be irreversible, and they already have been. So I am angry. Like we were saying, there isn't much that they probably could have done on an individual level. And it's hard to blame those who were never educated about it. And I know that it's pretty hard. Like, now it's really hard to not educate on climate change. And I can't say, because I haven't been alive for that long, how hard it was before to avoid that, to stay in that ignorance. But I think for those people who chose to deny it once they were educated about it, I'm angry at those people. I'm angry at the people who pushed out propaganda to deny climate change for all this time. Obviously, they were prioritizing their own lives and making sure that they could live their life to the fullest, and they knew they were going to die before anything too bad happened, so it didn't matter to them. And I am also a little bit angry for the people who fell for that propaganda, but I know that it's not entirely their fault. And that ignorance is a huge barrier to action. So for those people who just never even were exposed to that kind of education, I don't really blame them as much.
You're vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
Do you have to be vaccinated to take classes there?
You have to be vaccinated to do in-person classes and live on campus. Vaccinations required. So we all had to upload our vaccination status into their system. And there are other COVID restrictions. Like right now, we aren't allowed to have anyone off campus, obviously, mostly because we all have our vaccinations into the system. So it seems weird if we let other people who don't have that vaccination status uploaded on campus.
Right.
And because I'm a part of a small college that is a part of other colleges, there's a lot of restrictions. Usually my school and the other schools are allowed to go on other campuses and eat at like other colleges dining halls, since we're all in the same area. But because of COVID, all that's been shut down. I will say it's interesting that although there are COVID restrictions, that I'm understanding, I think, so far from what I've been here, which isn't very long, but from my experience so far, it seems as though the students seem to care way more than anybody else about having heavier COVID restrictions. And a lot of students like checking other students and making sure that, like, if you're around a big group of people, even if you're outside, to have your mask on. And there's a petition going around right now that is being signed by students to have stricter COVID restrictions because they're worried about cases. I know that there already have been several cases since people came onto campus. So it'll be interesting to see. But so far what I've noticed is that the students really, really care. And they are not afraid to tell their kids, like, you should put a mask on, or we should spread out, or that kind of thing.
Right. So how has COVID changed your social life and relationships?
When it first happened, I wasn't really seeing anyone, so it was interesting to watch everyone sort of go into their little bubble. I didn't lose social connections, but just sort of they'd fall away a little bit more. And it's interesting coming here on the campus with other college kids who also went through the same thing last year, and just talking about how it's affected us now, and not just then too. Like, we were lonely then, but even now, just like sort of having a little more social anxiety, and people keep using the phrase, like, saying that, like, their social battery is way smaller. Like, just being able to interact with people is like a lot harder for people. So it's not just that social relationships changed right after COVID, but like still now it's interesting. I'm watching people try to be social and interact again. It's a little hard.
In this time of multiple crises, what are you doing to nourish your well-being?
Being outside in general, because I feel like after being indoors for so long, was kind of a lot on people. So getting outside has really been really helpful for me in moving my body, and sort of, because sometimes I start to feel a little bit mentally stuck, I find that it helps if I'm not physically stuck, that I start to feel less mentally stuck as well. So I've been using that a lot. Honestly, just like dance. I think dance is like therapy.
Totally.
And I almost feel bad for everyone who doesn't feel comfortable in themselves to just dance how they want, because I think it's like one of the most transformative things to do. Focusing on the relationships that I did have and making sure that those are really healthy and beneficial relationships for both of us was definitely a thing. But I think now it is, it does feel really good to interact with other peers my same age. It's kids who share my drive and are studying the same things as me, or just sharing space with me. So definitely interacting with people, even though it may not be the most COVID safe thing, is definitely been nourishing my well-being. I took a class my last semester. It was a freshman humanities seminar called Nature and Society. And so it examined the relationship between humans and nature over history. One of the units we focused on was climate change. And our professor had us run through the Copenhagen Summit 2009 meeting and do a simulation of that, of the United Nations meeting from 2009 in Copenhagen. And she assigned us each to a different country. And so we each like represented a country and tried to come to an agreement on what we were gonna restrict and what we were gonna do over the next couple of years, which is what they did in 2009. And I was assigned to Tanzania, which was under the list of smaller underdeveloped countries compared to the larger developed countries. And I feel like it was just such a big takeaway to learn the amount of control that the larger developed countries have over what decisions are made. And no matter how hard us underdeveloped smaller countries trying to push for restricting emissions way more, especially for restricting the bigger developed countries who are pushing out way more emissions, it's like they're just big bullies. We just got pushed around. And learning that there's just so much greed. Yeah, it wasn't that they all just were denying it or unaware. Like learning that there are countries and people who are like, hey, we are small and underdeveloped and we're flooding, and if sea levels rise by a tiny bit more, like our well water will be contaminated and we can't drink well, like our water. And the big countries being like, well, we need to make money, so sorry. Sorry you can't drink water. So that was a really, I really loved doing that, because it was a really interesting experience to go through that simulation and sort of pretend to be one of those people trying to convince those bigger countries. Very hard, close to impossible. But now I'm here studying public policy to hopefully to be in one of those meetings someday or something of that sort.
Yeah, no, I could see you doing that. That would be the ultimate for you. It's like the international stuff is so important. You are listening to You Speaks Out. Our website is youthspeaksout.net. Now we will hear from Natalia, another Laytonville High School graduate who is attending Occidental College in Los Angeles.
Hi, my name is Natalia Cuesta-Taneo. I'm a sophomore at Occidental College. I'm considering majoring in education. I'm interested in education reform and Spanish to kind of work with like communities, Spanish-speaking communities. I'm taking an Indigenous Peoples of Mexico course. It's like, let's go Indians of Mexico, but I don't really, like, we'll see how it goes. I don't really like being Indian very much, but that. And then it's called Urban Sustainability Projects. And then the Spanish class and course where we meet up with a middle school student in LA, and like we work together on their classes.
Are your classes all going to be in person?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think the one with like the kid from LA is going to be in person for sure. I think that the Spanish one should be in person. Like for now, they're all in person. Like I have, you know, like rooms I go to, but we'll see. You know, like LA isn't doing amazingly well with the COVID stuff. Like there's always a chance that stuff can go downhill. But right now, I'm looking forward, and I think it should be all in person.
Is it a requirement to be vaccinated to go to school this year?
It's basically required unless we have like a religious excuse or like a physical reason why we wouldn't be able to get vaccinated. But I'm pretty sure our school has a really high vaccination rate. Like it's 98% of the students are vaccinated.
What do you think you've learned about the educational process as a result of all the online classes you had to do?
Oh, interesting. I mean, at each level, I think it was really different. Like I definitely felt the most for students in really young classes, like, you know, people whose parents, like kids whose parents like had to like go to work and stuff, and they like barely had a computer, like having to do third grade stuff, or like really transitional things, like first grade, kindergarten, stuff like that. Like there wasn't a lot of, I don't think anybody ever planned for a situation like this, and like having to give kids Wi-Fi, like kids having to use their parents' phones and stuff.
Do you think there was enough success in the online classes from last year that colleges will shift to more online classes in general?
From my experience, like what we did at our school, they really simplified all of our classes. Like they really were like, okay, you guys are in a pandemic, you know, like we're all struggling, so we're not going to give you the kind of workload that we would normally give you, like if you were in person. And I think a lot of the issue with college, at least, is like a lot of your support in the class is your classmates, and like linking up with them like after class, or like talking to them during class, or being able to like physically stop like your professor to do something like real quick like after class. And so all that was kind of gone. Like it was really hard to make friends to study with and do stuff like that because we're all in our own personal lives, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So for that reason, I would like to say like no. If it's a really simple kind of overall topic, like I could see online courses being beneficial for some people, you know, like people that want to travel or like don't necessarily want to be in like a single place for a very long time. Uh-huh. I could see that as being a benefit. But for the general public of like college students, I haven't met a person that enjoyed it or like found it to be easy or like simple.
Has the climate crisis and COVID made you rethink what you should study?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's made me rethink whether or not I should be studying for this long, honestly. Like it's just like, can I be doing more physical things to do things better? And like there's always the question, it's like, well, the planet's dying, so we need to focus on the planet, right? But like the only thing that's gonna fix the planet are the people that are living on it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, exactly. You focus on getting people to realize that it's messed up and care, and like do like social type work, or do you just go straight to the chase and just work on like ecological benefit, like trying to make new things or do stuff like that? I've never been a super sciencey person. The only science that I really was ever interested in was like environmental sciences. I would probably, if I really just decided to focus solely on like physical, like nature type sciences and actions in that way, and not really go through people, if that makes any sense, I would probably just not necessarily take a bunch of classes on it, but just try to like be in a bunch of projects and like work with a bunch of people, not necessarily in like a college situation to try to get stuff done. Because I think getting degrees in this stuff's like important too, but I guess I would hope to just physically like do stuff quicker.
Do you think the weather was different this summer?
Oh, for sure. 110%. When I was really little, like I remember summer times, you know, they were hot and like they were dry because it was California, but like especially just regarding the fires, like I just don't remember there being that many crazy fires when I was a kid. Like maybe we'd have one or two, you know, that was like, oh shoot, there's a fire here, and then it'd last maybe like a few days before it would go out, but like never days where it's like three or four fires in random places that are like vaguely being controlled, like all over the place, really nearby, you know what I'm saying? Like I talked to my mom about it too. I was like, was it like this? You know, like why is it so, like it's really like, it's definitely extra dry, super duper dry, and everything just dies really fast. You know, the rivers are so much drier and so much more shallow than they used to be. Like me and my friends, you know, we go to the river as our pastime, and it was just like the first time we ever went, it was like way lower than it was like when we ended
the summer of the last year. It was just stuff where it's like, dang, maybe my kids won't ever really be able to swim in this river if it stays like this, you know?
Are many of your friends climate activists?
The term climate activist is interesting because it's like, do all of us care about the environment? Yes. Are y'all like trying to do our best to make things individually better for ourselves to be more sustainable? Yes. But do any of us actually know how to do anything to help this on an individual or like group level? Probably not. It's like, we all really care for sure. Like, nobody's like, no, for the climate, you know, but it's kind of like, what can we do at this point?
Do you think that the elders, like my generation, could have done more to prevent this from happening?
I mean, yeah, of course, because it's, you know, like, we know what's going wrong. We know that individual, you know, average well people aren't the ones that are, like, poor people still have to, like, work, they still have to eat. Like, how do we get people that are just trying to survive to also get on this cause when, like, we as, like, more comfortable people are have the privilege to be more aware of it? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so you guys had more time would be like my only frustration. It's kind of like you had the option to also look forward and be like having kids without like the entire like world kind of crumbling, or like, you know, the capability to be like older grandparents and stuff. But I guess now, like, looking into the future, I just kind of really doubt making a large place for myself, just because I'm not really certain on how long anything will really last. Like, you know, by the time I get to the age where I'm like comfortable or like have this your stability to have a kid, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know, because I don't want to put them into a world that's going to be like either broke, completely broken, or like on fire by the time that they get to be an age where they get to go and like explore the world. You know what I'm saying? And I'm even frustrated by that now because of like how messed up everything is. And it's like, I was put into this huge problem space, and as an individual, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do with it. Like, we can all, a lot of people, you know, they just want to forget about it and be like, all right, well, let's live while we can type thing. But it's hard, you know, like, I don't want to be just spend all my time being pissed at old people. Like, I already do that enough. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I know what you mean.
It's, you know, I think most older people, like, they kind of recognize they kind of wasted the space. Like, there's, you know, protests are really important. But when all you do is, you know, go out into a space and show that you're upset with something, it doesn't necessarily force anything to change. And I think that y'all were really good at doing that. Like, there's a lot of really memorable protests, and like, but at the same time, I still think that, you know, none of us have really figured out what we really need to do to make all this stuff like go down, like to like really kind of like burn the system that we have right now in order to make it all work. And people, you know, they don't want to be uncomfortable. Like, there's a lot of real big changes that we'd have to make, that everyone would have to make, in order for this stuff to get better. And like, a lot of our mass systems of how we work are going to be completely reworked. And a lot of people would rather just be comfortable for as long as they can instead of having to learn and do new things in order to make, you know, generations after us actually survive. It's hard to just give the earth time to heal, you know, to just pause everything and like get it all together and not make production like our most important thing, because everyone, you know, everyone has to make money. Like, everyone has to do something in order to sustain themselves. And I guess, you know, like, what we all want is to be able to just naturally survive or whatever, but it's a weird concept. It's really strange. And everyone from different places of the world and the country of the U.S., like, they have different opinions on it. Workers that are producing most of these things that are bad for the environment are, like, really, really poor people, because that's all the options that they have, and, you know, that's purposeful. And it's like, well, you know, we want to stop fast fashion, and we want to stop, like, all these, like, really rough things that mess up the environment, but we have to like provide alternatives for these people to be able to survive, and like for us to be able to naturally live with the environment instead of constantly fighting it all the time, and not overindulge ourselves, because that's kind of the only thing we've learned to do, at least in the U.S.
Okay, well, do you think that there's a parallel between the way people deny the climate problem, the climate crises, and the way that people deny the pandemic crises and the vaccine crises? I mean, it seems to me that we're, you know, it's the same thing in both situations. I know people that I respect and they're my friends that believe that the pandemic is a hoax, and that the vaccines are part of a conspiracy, mm-hmm. to mess them up. And yet I also know people that if I try and talk to them about climate change, they're like, oh, you know, the weather's always changing. You know, don't give me this.
Right.
So do you think that there's a parallel in that? And what where's that parallel come? Where's that cognitive dissonance?
Yeah, they tend to be the same kind of people. You know, like, I think most of it is just wanting to feel safe. And so in order to feel safe, you're going to lie to yourself and lie to yourself until you just can't lie to yourself anymore. Like, and it's pretty extreme measures at this point. It's a lot more scary to admit that, like, we're in a global pandemic that we've never really fully experienced before in a very, very long time, and things are shutting down and people are dying, and we have to, you know, introduce this new kind of medicine into ourselves in order to make it all work out, instead of just being like, well, they're all just lying to us and this is fake and everyone's fine. Like, it's a lot, you feel a lot calmer and it's less anxiety inducing to say that. And the same thing with, like, global warming, especially when you feel, like, really powerless in the whole situation, or, you know, you'd have to change up a lot of things in your life in order to be on the good side of things. You know, it's a lot easier to be like, well, it's fake anyways, you know, like, everything changes, nothing bad's happening, like, I'm still going to do this, especially really wealthy people. And I think the people that are really causing all this global warming stuff, big, you know, organizations, I'm sure that they know. Like, I think that most of them aren't, like, idiots, but, you know, if they admit that they're doing something bad, then it will be a lot different if they were just acting ignorant, you know? And ignorance is bliss, like what they say. Like, a lot of people that are really aware of all these problems, like, they're ridden with anxiety and a lot of things, because it's just like, how do we solve all of these things that are happening? Like, how did it get like this? Like, I'm 19 years old, like, now what do I do? Type thing. And I guess, like, it does seem simpler to just ignore that it's happening at all in the first place.
Well, I think you made a good point in that you said it's the powerlessness that people feel in both instances, and that's right. You know, that's
right.
I hadn't thought of it just as that. That's the parallel, is that people feel like they can do nothing about the climate, and the pandemic is so scary if it's as bad as they say it is, which to me it clearly is. So it's better if you just deny it, then you're not going to feel so powerless and hopeless.
It's interesting, like, having the phase of our lives where we're going into the world being really shut down, you know, like 18, 19, 20 year olds, like, that are planning and have spent their entire lives, like, planning, like, their parents and their grandparents, like, have to, you know, go out and do a lot of things or react in a really different way. And I guess the only difference really between all these big issues happening is, like, we just feel a lot more rushed. Like, we don't have the same luxuries that a lot of the older generations had in terms of being able to let things flow, like, chill out, you know.
How has COVID changed your social life and relationships?
At least being in Maineville, I definitely was allowed to have, like, a little bubble of a few people, you know, like, when COVID was real rough and, like, the restrictions just started out, and it was very difficult for a while because a lot of people didn't believe that COVID existed. Like, a lot of people were still going out and, like, partying and, like, hanging out in big groups and doing stuff like that. And it was hard, like, as a person who was kind of raised to not trust anything the government tells them, and, like, that doesn't want to trust any, like, modern, you know, Western scientific explorations, to, you know, listen to all these guidelines and do this stuff just, like, on a blind little whim. So, like, at first it was kind of like, well, I just want to do, like, whatever, you know, like, and it got to a point where I was like, no, like, I'm being selfish. Like, I need to recognize now that, like, a lot of people are being affected, and just because I get the privilege to be able to live in, like, a rural spaced out area while this is happening doesn't necessarily mean I shouldn't, like, respect this stuff, and, like, stuff can still totally spread really easily here. So there's definitely a phase where it didn't affect me very much, and then it got to a point where I just didn't really see a lot of people. And it was winter time too, so winter time is always really rough because there's just nothing to do in Laneville, especially, like, if you're not going to school. So it was a real lonely, real boring for a little while. And in terms of, like, college social life, it was pretty dim. Not much, you know. I didn't want to be on Zoom any more than I already was, and I didn't make a lot of online friends, you know, a few acquaintances that I, like, got to meet up with in person here, and that was really cool, but nothing too crazy, you know. Like, I think it affects a lot of people in terms of, like, romantic relationships. Like, a lot of people on campus are, like, have not been able to, you know, interact with another person of their attracted gender in a really long time, so it's, like, really overwhelming, you know. And, like, a lot of people are just nervous. Like, we're all like, yeah, I haven't been around these many people my age that I don't know, and, like, I don't know how long, you know. Like, we didn't have our senior year, we had a whole year where we were kind of had to be at home. Like, it's just, it's really overwhelming for a lot of us. And I think a lot of us are kind of really anxious about it, but it's like an excited type anxious. So we're like dealing.
Yeah. Good. What are you doing to nourish your well-being?
Ooh. Yeah. My best. I'm doing my best. I don't know. I went to a therapist for a little while, and I'm trying to focus on kind of like being with myself, if that makes any sense. Like, growing up in a very technological era, it's really easy to like exist without really existing and being aware of yourself at the same time, and just sitting with yourself and letting you just feel and think the way that you want. And I can just shove information and media and conversations down my brain and never have to really like sit and just be, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
And I think it's really difficult, you know, like, I think it's really difficult for a lot of people in my generation, and I'm trying my best to just start to do that. It's especially difficult moving to a new place like college and stuff, because like, you want to hang out with a bunch of people, and then you don't want to necessarily sit and decompress and think about all this stuff that's going on in case, you know, triggers some sort of like panicky situation. But I think it's important, and I'm trying to work on it more.
That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@laytonville.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and distributed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 9.